I'm Katie Clark, and this is The World. The U.S. military said today it captured 16 militants, including a senior al-Qaeda fighter, in operations in Baghdad and Mosul. Of course, the most high-profile capture in Iraq was the apprehension of former President Saddam Hussein in 2003. That was followed by his controversial trial and execution. Those events are detailed in an upcoming book by two American law professors. Michael Scharf and Michael Newton were part of the international team that trained the Iraqi judges and prosecutors for the most high-profile war crimes case since Nuremberg. The Saddam trial lasted 9 months. Michael Newton says it was a pivotal event in Middle East history.
This really represented a televised spectacle of Iraqis who were struggling to redefine the soul of their nation. There were, of course, many Iraqis on a personal level that simply wanted to execute him. Officials made the determination that establishing a tribunal built on due process rules would be a very tangible, concrete step towards reestablishing the rule of law and demonstrating to people, in fact, that the tyranny of the old regime had ended and that there was a new future built on respect for human rights.
But there was a lot of disagreement at the time about trying Saddam in an Iraqi court. Many international legal experts, human rights groups, thought the trial should have been held at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. They felt it was too big a case, too important a case, to have been left up to the Iraqis. Mike Newton, who made the decision to establish an Iraqi high tribunal? I'm wondering, was it the Bush administration?
Well, in fact, there was an organized group of Iraqis, some of whom had been jailed by the regime. The International Criminal Court in The Hague had no jurisdiction over the case, nor did any other international tribunal, and the Iraqis really demanded the right to try Saddam.
And you give a pretty unvarnished view of what happened, preparing for the trial, during the trial, and after the trial. And you describe how the trial gave Saddam a chance to find his voice again after his humiliating capture, and that he used the TV spotlight to stand defiantly against the court and to even rally the insurgency. I wonder if either of you ever regret that you helped give him that stage. And for that matter, do you have any regrets about how the trial may have actually fueled the insurgency?
Katie, this is Michael Scharf. This really was a repeat of what Hermann Göring did at Nuremberg and what Slobodan Milosevic was able to do at his trial in The Hague. And we warned the judges that they ought to keep Saddam sort of bottled up so that his lawyer would have to speak for him until the end of the trial when he would take the stand and speak on his own behalf. But the Iraqis, playing by their traditions, felt that Saddam should have a right to speak every day in court and to say whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, because that would be to show that the trial was the most fair. And personally, I thought that was a disaster.
Well, I think in the end, what many in the West will remember most about the trial of Saddam Hussein was the endpoint, his execution, and that grainy cell phone video that leaked out after that event. That sound from Saddam Hussein's execution, you can hear the taunt, Muqtada, Muqtada, and that's a reference to Muqtada al-Sadr, who's the prominent Shiite cleric and an opponent of Saddam, or was an opponent of Saddam. The execution was a chaotic scene, with other Iraqi observers shouting, "Go to hell." Do you think the legacy, Michael Scharf, Mike Newton, of the execution is a legacy of Iraq's enduring sectarianism?
Well, this is Mike Newton. I think one of the things that's a sad reality is that the execution accomplished in 2 minutes and 36 seconds what the defense tried to accomplish through the whole trial, which was the perception of illegitimacy and chaos. There's so many other rumors and so much other activity going on behind the scenes that put that execution into context. For example, one of the voices that you hear in Arabic is actually the prosecutor pleading for dignity and pleading for respect. There's other off-camera evidence of Saddam participating in taunting and giving just as good as he got. So there's a lot more to the execution than just what you captured there.
Well, one of the other interesting bits of information you present in the book is the fact that preparations for trying Saddam Hussein in court actually began years before the U.S.-led invasion. I'm wondering, Michael Scharf, just how far back did this go?
Well, the evidence was all being collected at the time of the first Gulf War, especially in northern Iraq, where the no-fly zone was established over the Kurdish region, and Human Rights Watch was able to get so many truckloads of evidence that the ambassador at large for war crimes issues in the United States said that the room in which they were housed looked like the place in the final scene of the first Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, where you see the crate after crate after crate of information in a giant warehouse. And that is the information that ultimately led to the conviction of Saddam Hussein. He was convicted in this case on the strength of his own documents, and they were authenticated in court, and even his own subordinates testified in court that the signatures were his and they were authentic. And Katie, one of the most heroic figures appeared on the last day of the trial. He was the court-appointed lawyer for Saddam Hussein after the retained counsel, including Ramsey Clark, the former attorney general of the United States, had announced that they were boycotting the final closing arguments. And this court-appointed public defender got up. He was a very small man. He was shaking in his boots. And he said, "I am going to read the closing argument now." And Saddam stood up just about 8 feet away from him, stuck his finger in his face and said, "If you read that closing argument, I will consider you the enemy of the state and you will be doomed." And he sat there for a second, and I had no idea what was going to happen. And then he read the argument for an hour and a half.
And this is Mike Newton. Let me just add the fact that that was nationally televised. So when Saddam shakes his finger and says, "If you speak, you're the enemy of the state," which from which we drew the title of our book, he's essentially saying to all the insurgents, to all the people out there, watch this man's face, find his family, persecute him, punish him. And yet they had the courage, really, truly, on behalf of the rule of law, to do their job.
Well, this week we saw the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court ask for an arrest warrant for Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir and declare the atrocities against civilians in Darfur to be genocide. I'd like to ask you both, what parallels can you draw between the case of Saddam Hussein and Bashir?
The fact is that what you saw in the courtroom in Iraq and behind the scenes as Michael and I trained judges and worked with judges was people trying to grasp with the complex body of international law, but trying to apply it at a domestic level. And the fact is that that had never been done in the Arab-speaking world. And the indictment and the fact that Arabs can now read opinions based on crimes against humanity and based on genocide law, and they can discuss the substance of the law, the regime stopped them, Iraqis, from learning about that body of law. And now it's there for open discussion and for open distribution. And that's an incredibly important contribution. Hopefully the ICC indictment accelerates that process.
And to add to that, this is Michael Scharf again. What we're seeing is the end of an era of impunity and the beginning of an age of accountability, where people like Milosevic and Charles Taylor and Saddam Hussein are now being tried. And Omar Bashir is going to be the first president to be tried by the International Criminal Court. As a tyrant on trial, his trial is going to be just every bit as messy, I think, as Milosevic's trial and the Saddam trial. But they're starting to learn from the experience. And these trials are extraordinarily challenging. But what I think our book shows is ultimately they're worth doing.
Michael Scharf teaches at Case Western Reserve University Law School. Michael Newton teaches at Vanderbilt Law School. Their book, Enemy of the State, The Trial and Execution of Saddam Hussein, comes out in September. Thank you both.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Katie.